This is KTWH, the Leo Baybue for Two Harbors Community Radio. I have the pleasure of having on the phone our acting superintendent, J. Bell Castro, superintendent of Lake Superior School District, all of Lake County, six townships in St. Louis County. Jay, how long have you been working in your current capacity as acting superintendent?
Wow, I think I've been now since the start of the school year, but this unusual year feels like it's been about 10 years, but
fair
since the
enough.
Beginning of the school year.
Okay. We're recording this on November 9th of 2020, and the school year started day after Labor Day. So we're almost exactly 2 months in. And as you said, it probably feels at least like 2 years.
Yes, absolutely. It seems like it has gone on for a very, very long time. And part of that basically is because we've never experienced anything close to this. So it's where things are at and how things are being done is certainly not business as normal. So it's been a long process of trying every educator's patience and making everybody do things that they never would have thought when they signed up to be a teacher or a school administrator.
And I think in our pre-interview, you were trying to reflect on every single aspect of every single part of the educational instruction process and all those support programs, as people need to understand just how many different supportive activities take place and the number of staff involved and the number of logistical decisions. And they're all COVID-centered these days, if I read you right.
Yes. Yeah. It's COVID every day, all day, and everything either is directly or indirectly geared around what is COVID doing to the learning opportunity and how do we respond to the most recent information we have to ensure that we provide the best educational possibility for our learners.
Why don't we just set the table for people to remind folks what Lake Superior School District did with their three schools, Kelly and Silver Bay, pre-K through 12, and the Minnehaha K through 5 Elementary in Two Harbors, and the 6 through 12 building that is the Two Harbors High School. How are the learning models set up, and where do they stand now? I guess that's a handful.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, certainly looking at the different communities and what the community needs are, some of that decision was based on transportation needs as Two Harbors High School and the Minnehaha transportation services, both schools. So certainly that had to be taken into consideration. And then in addition to that, what could we do to ensure that we're supporting the distance learners that choose to come in? So Two Harbors High School and the Minnehaha decided to do an AM and a PM cohort. So the kids will get picked up and they arrive at school about 8 o'clock, and that goes through 11. And then the teachers have a 2-hour prep lunch in the center of the day preparing for their afternoon cohorts. And so the kids will show up at 1 o'clock, 1 to 4. And so that model is being shared in both sites. It's really interesting getting to that conclusion. And when that decision was made, I was in the role of high school principal. So I was working closely with Brett Archer, the elementary principal, as well as a teacher task force. And so that was really critical that we had the teacher voice there. And so one of the teachers said, you know, we need to think about parents that have kids both in the Mini and Two Harbors High School. And so having a model that supports their needs is important too. So there was a combined effort and a decision to come up with that learning model. We certainly worked with a group that helped us build what we call our blueprint restart plan, looking at classroom capacity, understanding what our seat capacities on our buses, having our parents step up very, very largely in helping transport. So all of that came into this way for us then to be able to provide a new education in a very trying time in the Two Harbors end. Kelly was a bit different because their numbers are a bit smaller. Their building is large. And so Kelly Elementary was able to run all their students in the building each day. So that worked out great. Kelly High School decided to do a hybrid as well. So they were doing a two day in, 2 day out, and would switch the model that way. So a little bit different, but instructional time being about the same, in models that fit the needs of each community were greatly taken into consideration.
In fact, all of the usual Minnesota Department of Education rules that normally were complicating enough for you, like instructional minutes, you had to adhere to all of those as you developed distance and different flavors of hybrid and in-person models.
Yeah, and then we were mandated by the Department of Education to ensure that we had all three models for all three sites, meaning that we had a distance model, which was easy because we came off that in the spring, so we understood that piece. We understand the in-person everyday model because that's what schools have been built on, what was the challenging one was really the hybrid and what that was going to look like and the uniqueness that needed to be for each side of the district.
I think, Jay, I'm going to reflect for you a sentiment that I've heard that even among those people who have felt like distance learning would be by far the most precautionary model, there's almost universal dissatisfaction with the dynamic of just distance learning. And it seems that now that we have the high schoolers in a complete distance learning model, or can you remind me what the high schoolers at the Kelly are now doing? Have they returned to the classroom?
Today was the first day back into the hybrid model.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was great to have them back. And in having a conversation with Joe Nickley, the principal, I said, well, how's it going? He says, it's so great to hear the voices in the building. And so I think we can all attest to how important that is to having the kids on site when it's safe for the staff and students. And that was our number one priority, to ensure that safety was there.
You checked all of the appropriate sources in the Health and Human Services and Minnesota Department of Health sectors that you have access to, all of that expertise assured you could bring back the high schoolers to the Kelly today.
Yeah, you know, we're teachers, and so we're not healthcare experts, so we rely heavily on those individuals. So our school nurses are fantastic resources and have really gone above and beyond in each site. We have a district COVID team that meets every Thursday at 3. Can you guess why we meet Thursday at 3? The 14-day raid is released on that time. So that's the reason we get together at that time. So we have those folks. And then in addition to that, the administrators, our union president sits on that team, and Lake County Public Health, Tracy Gilsvik. So those folks all came together. And when we met with that team and then brought in the Minnesota Department of Health and shared our learning model, here's some of the questions they had asked us, which I thought was really interesting. Number one, tell us about the transmission that's happening in the schools. So we answered that question. Very, very limited transmission happening in any one of the three sites. Number two, this was the question for the district. Tell us about students' compliance to mask wearing. I said, it's been absolutely fantastic. Our kids have done a fantastic job abiding by that rule. I've had to pull a few kids aside and remind them, but that is not an issue in our school. The kids are wearing the mask. And then the third and equally important question that MDH had asked us is, tell us about your capacity. And when I talked about that blueprint restart plan, we ensured that every single classroom in all three buildings were at 50% capacity. We knew what that number was. When our counselors built our class schedule, we ensured that there were students that didn't exceed that. And in some cases in Two Harbors High School, when our numbers did exceed that, we went out and hired another teacher. And so when we said yes, yes, yes to those three questions, they came back and said, we then suggest that you bring the kids back. And so it's been a very, very strong partnership. We have to lean on those folks. We got to lean on the science, and we need to lean on the people that really know what's critical if we're going to keep our staff and our students safe.
Sure. So the high school students at Kelly have returned to the same model, which was 2 days in and 2 days out per week?
Correct.
Okay. Yep. And as of now, if I recall, the two-week window for having the 7 through 12 stay out of the building at Two Harbors High School, that will run just through the end of this week. And theoretically, if all goes well, you would have them back on the Monday the 16th in the building. Is that how that stands right now? Okay.
And the other part of that, I think that's important for the listeners to know, is that as we met last Wednesday to talk with MDH regarding the Kelly return, We will meet with MDH again this Wednesday at noon, to go through the same data. So the same conversations will be happening. But again, if MDH comes back and says, at this point, this is what we're seeing, the transmission rates have increased, da 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 da, the answer may be that return date could certainly be extended. Right. What we're certainly hopeful for is that everything checks out and we're able to get the kids back in the building.
Okay. Throughout this adjustment of having the high schoolers doing in-person versus all distance, we've maintained our athletic programs, correct? A lot of people are going to be curious as to whether that's the right thing to do and what the basis is for that. What would you say to that?
Well, I think that's a great question. Is it the right thing to do? If I were to share my personal opinion, that might be different than what the experts are telling us to do, but I'm an educator, you know, and so my first and foremost, it's the educational value that we want to, you know, that's got to be paramount, that's got to be protected. But athletics were able to continue because the district decided to move into a distance learning at Two Harbors High School. That wasn't a state forced. So that's the difference between if the state would have come in and mandated us move to a full distance, then our activities and our athletics would have had to cease at that point. But because Two Harbors decided to move into that distance, and we know that our athletic advisor, activities director, Scott Ross, has worked so closely with the coaching staff. And anybody that knows Mr. Ross knows he really communicates heavily and does a great job. This is what needs to happen. And so with that, we had good experiences with swimming, girls swimming in the fall, boys and girls soccer in the fall. So we had kind of a template going into what our student athletes were expected to do, what our coaching staff was expected to do. And we really came out of the fall with those sports unscathed and having to shut anything down. So not only was it the district's decision to move into the distance learning, we also had a pretty good model to follow, and our student athletes were moving through that model. Some of our boys soccer players then converted over to football when that season reopened. So there was some that just knew what they had to do.
So am I right in thinking that perhaps swimming and soccer are behind us, the two sports that started later, volleyball and football, are still ongoing?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. And as of now, and I guess the question of the moment seems to be that since September 1, we've experienced 150 of the 187 confirmed cases in Lake County of COVID-19. One would think that this might make some people a little more anxious. Have we had an exodus of some students whose families decided that they should go to distance learning who started out in person, or has that not been very substantial?
We probably have had more that have gone from distance into the hybrid.
Okay.
I think there were some families that were, you know, and rightfully so. I think everybody has to be concerned with what we're dealing with. And so I think some had started off with the concerns and having their students do the distance. The beautiful thing with the state mandate is every student had that opportunity. And so we have had some students, a lot at the elementary, that have come from the distance into hybrid. It becomes a challenge, and we've told parents when we surveyed, we created a drop-dead date because we were so focused on ensuring that capacity level was going to work. If, Leo, you had, a son that you decided, you know what, things are going pretty well, I'd like him to return to Two Harbors High School, there was no guarantee that could happen because those classes might have been filled to capacity. And so Right. What we've said at this point is you can always go distance, but from a distance into a hybrid, we really need to do a really strong deep dive into is there capacity availability to bring the student back in a safe manner.
Okay. So as far as you know, in the last couple of weeks where we seem to have picked up the pace to 2 to 3 cases a day in the county, and again, of course, these are cases across the county, may have little or no impact on the actual members of the school community, whether students or staff. So there hasn't been a change in the attendance. People are sticking with the model that they chose, apparently.
There has been certainly some movement, but I wouldn't say there's been a mass exit of students out or, you know, wanting to come back in. Those lines have held pretty tight, but certainly there have been, you know, and again, I think I would do the same, some really strong concerning phone calls that I've actually had, you know, the pleasure of talking to parents with. Here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. When Two Harbors went to the full distance for 2 weeks, there were certainly some parents that decided at this point, there's enough uncertainty that we're going to keep our son or daughter distance. And that's their right to do that.
Okay.
But, you know, again, it was the conversation. There is, if in 2 weeks we come back and the numbers stabilize and the communities start to really follow what's the direction we need to all follow, and they can return safely. You know, I had to share with some parents, just understand that capacity level may not be there for your son or daughter to return into the hybrid model.
Right. And of course, this is in such flux that you have to be ready for more or less that you have a pretty large organization to turn on a dime, but you have to be ready for the possibility on any given week. And generally across Minnesota, things have really been ramping up. Jay, in terms of positivity rates, not quite so much in Lake County. The positivity rate apparently is still under 10%, whereas it's in the mid-teens across the state. So if that were to change, though, you could get a different message from MDH and the people at Lake County Health and Human Services kind of in a rather short period of time. It could force your hand, and yet you do scenario planning for all of the above?
Correct. Yeah. The part of the safe learning plan was to be able to move seamlessly in between learning models. Seamlessly might be a stretch, but the ability to do that. The one thing that we have done district-wide is we've really understood the importance of giving families time to prepare. So this wasn't anything that we want to drop onto a family within a 24-hour basis. So when Kelly went out, the goal was to give families adequate time to plan. Parents need to find daycare or other, they need to maybe change their work schedule. And the same thing with Two Harbors High School. So when we make these decisions, we bring people in, our goal is certainly to give our community and our parents adequate time to prepare, because we know that's going to be a change for them as well.
I guess it's fair to say that everybody's on a little bit different footing since this past March. Things have ramped to the point where 24 or 48 hours would be considered reasonable notice, and something that it might have taken you 2 months to roll out in a prior year, right? I mean, everything's relative.
Oh. Yeah, what a beauty that would be, having 2 months to do anything now.
Yes, I'm sure you have dreams of that. We're speaking with Acting Superintendent Jay Balcastro of the Lake Superior School District. During this uptick in cases across Lake County and the Northland, they have challenges galore, decisions to make in the school buildings across this district. We'll talk about what they've figured out in Silver Bay, what they're working on figuring out in Two Harbors, how the learning models work, how everyone's collaborating in ways they never expected they'd have to during this pandemic year on KTWH. What role is the board, just the Board of Education for the school district, essentially turning over all of these operational decisions to the administration? Essentially, they've given you kind of the keys to turn this around on a dime?
Yeah, but what we certainly do in that situation is we're in direct contact with the board chair. So the plan of action is typically there's a concern, there's a report. We know that there's been an influx of positive cases. That then triggers our district COVID team to unite. Our district COVID team then brings in Lake County Human Services and Public Health. So then it elevates up to, okay, now here's what we believe is in the best interest of our staff and students. Then the school board is notified, and the school board certainly understands the work that has been put into that decision and supports the decision.
In essence, we're not having to have emergency or very special meetings called on short notice. They understand the lay of the land and what the scenarios that may play out are, and have consensus on that. Okay.
Yeah, and as a former school board member and myself as well, we certainly want to be informed. And so a big part of my job as acting superintendent is to share with the board, here's where we're at and here's why. And so, and I know that as a board member, you may get an email or a phone call. I always want to ensure that our school board is well prepared to take those calls and those emails. So all of that communication is done before the public is aware. So then when the public becomes aware of the change in model, if a board member were to get a call, they would know, why. So
sure.
I think that's a critically important piece.
Well, one of the things that a board is most accountable for is what the financial exposure of making dramatic decisions during a pandemic might be. And what are the, I don't want you to go into micro detail, but with students getting Chromebooks and such, it strikes me that there's a little bit different cost structures that were never necessarily planned for that have come to pass in a real short period of time. Is this putting you more in a deficit spending situation, or has there been funding to fill that coming from like the CARES Act?
Yeah, if there wasn't funding to fill that, better than most how difficult it would be to supply every student within the Lake Superior School District the needed technology. So
right. We
have Corona relief funds that the district had received, and so a majority of the CRF funds have gone to support technology for our students. You might have remembered as a school board member when we started talking about technology in the building, we talked about Chromebooks, we talked about, one to cart, meaning that you might have three or four teachers sharing one cart, having to create a calendar and determining who's going to have the Chromebooks at what time.
Yes,
We've now converted. We are totally and truly a one-to-one school, meaning that our Chromebooks travel with our students, and so they will leave the school each and every day with their school district-issued Chromebook.
Okay. And we all know that technology doesn't necessarily treat all families equally, depending upon where they live and their income level. I remember in the spring talking to Dr. Crandall about how folks that might live where they didn't quite have the digital inclusion that other kids might have, how they were going to get their Chromebook or whatever device was they were using at the time to work at home, to have broadband access. Have we mostly got that working for them?
Yeah, I would love to say, you know, as I, before our call, you and I this afternoon, I was on two Google Meets and I've got, you know, good internet coverage at my house, so I can get on a Google Meet or a Zoom meeting and have no delay. We certainly know, depending on geographically where you live, it's going to be better, some really good and some not as good. But the district has also not only invested in the Chromebooks, we've invested in hotspots to support those learners.
Okay.
And so for the folks that may be in remote areas or economically doesn't work into their budget, the district has provided hotspots for each of those learners and a big inventory of who needs what. And you know, we've tasked the building principals and their tech departments to ensure that we've got an accurate list. And so a bunch of that just came in a couple weeks ago and has been distributed out. And the good part with these 2 weeks, both at Kelly High School and Two Harbors High School, is it's really given us a pretty solid run to see what's working and what isn't. And of course, what isn't, we're adjusting to and fixing those areas. Another piece that's unique to this is we have a tech hotline. And so that's new. And so from 5 to 7 nightly, if there's a parent or a student that has a technology issue or a class concern, we have a way to reach out to an individual who may be able to solve the problem, but if not, what his responsibility would be is to get the question to the appropriate person so there's a 24-hour turnaround to an answer to support that learner. So that's another unique way that we're supporting our students in these really trying times.
Wow. So Jay, it would seem that having to handle both in-class delivery of education and be responsible for a bunch of students online sounds like a teacher wearing more hats than ever for a position that always requires wearing a lot of hats. How is the stress level for staff, and how are they holding up and accommodating this thing? They never trained for this in their careers, I assume.
Well, you know, it's interesting. My hat goes off to our staff and the professionalism that they've gone at this with. You know, I saw a more united, it was sort of graduation night when you were so grateful to do our graduation on the radio. But after the Jackson left and the graduation ended, the staff that was there, my parting comment was, I've never felt closer to the staff because we've been put into this, you know that character is oftentimes created at times of trial. And this is certainly one of them. And our folks have stepped up. That being said, I'd be remiss to indicate the stress that this is putting on our teachers. It is immense, and I worry a lot about that. And so we're trying to find ways, you know, technology is not only are we supporting our student learners, we're supporting our teachers. Anything we can do to make the job more efficient for them from a technology perspective, we are doing everything that we can. You know, so there's been a number of different software programs purchased, additional hardware devices purchased. We know what they're doing is a big, big challenge. Interesting to say that, though, of course, as you can imagine, students, teachers that we have that maybe have come out of college within the last 3 to 5 years, a lot of what they did in school was online. So there's definitely a different level of, well, yeah, I get it. I've had to do this. I understand what a student learning management system is. I've done it at UMD or Scholastic or wherever they went to school.
Okay.
So what we've done is we've also built small learning cohorts of one teacher trainer, and 2 to 3 teachers that need assistance. And the reason we did small is because we know small can be very intimate. In a large setting, I may not feel comfortable raising my hand and saying, I don't get it. But if I'm with 2 or 3 people, we talk to the trainers and say, we really want this to be intimate. We want it to be safe. We want it to be trusting. We want to get those questions answered. And so we task these leaders with that. And that has been a huge support too. So what I see on internet threads is, I don't know how to do this. And what I also see is 5 to 10 to 15 teachers jumping in and saying, here's the fix to that problem. So it's not all bad.
No,
it's not all bad. We certainly have experienced a sense of of collectivism and camaraderie that maybe wouldn't have been here if COVID wouldn't have been here. So we will come out of this better, but it certainly is a trying situation for all involved.
So it's creating some surprising partnerships, sometimes from the younger to more elder staff.
Yes.
And that is something that's kind of pleasant to see happening, because we always assume it works the other way.
Yeah.
We've got to all support each other here.
Yes, absolutely. But what's also great, you know, sometimes teachers can get the reputation of, you know, not really excited for change, a little bit reluctant to that. But I've had staff come up to me and say, Jay, you've got to see what I've learned here. And so, you know, it's forced us all to be learners. And, you know, if you would have asked me 2 years ago what a Google Classroom or a Google Meet was, I could tell you what Google was, but the other two I couldn't. We've all had to learn things that we never would have guessed we would have had to.
Right.
But when we come out of this and the dust settles, however and whenever that'll be, we will take things out of this that will say, this is good for education, and we're going to embed this into our practice moving forward.
Well, thanks, Mr. J. Bell Castro, who is the acting superintendent in Lake Superior School District. You let me push you around with all kinds of challenges about whether the system was up to it. And I must admit, this is a major stress test for our society. And certainly you guys are kind of at a focal point of where the push comes to shove and trying to do right by our students who they're coming to adulthood in the system during a period nobody really had a game plan for 8 months ago. I'm glad to hear that we've got a game plan in Lake Superior School District, but you still face challenges that may force you to make some difficult decisions. So I hope you'll be willing to answer questions when you might have to make some more decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I encourage your listeners, if they have questions or concerns, they can always personally reach out to me. And I encourage them to do that. You know, what we know is the stress level is high. I can also tell you the support that our teachers have felt from the community is impressive. And so I certainly want to thank everybody out there for understanding the challenges that we're faced with and the support that everybody is doing the best they can. Is this our best product? No, it's not. We know that. But what we do know is we're giving the best effort we can, you know, under this time. So I certainly appreciate everybody's support that way.
I would hope that maybe 6 to 8 months from now, you and I could actually talk about some of those wonderful initiatives that that are kind of completely overshadowed by COVID-19. So thanks for joining us today on KTWHJ, and much luck to you, your staff, the students going forward.
Well, thank you, and it's always a pleasure talking with you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you take care now. That was Jay Bell Castro, acting superintendent in the Lake Superior School District, talking to us about the way the lay of the land in his realm of public education has been taxed by the coronavirus COVID-19. And the story is still unfolding. So we're going to keep in close contact with our school officials moving forward. This is Leo Babiu for KTWH.